Sing that. A year ago today, we stood around her mother's bedside, all the kids, four children, a husband, grandchildren, and a hospital there in Houston, where my mother-in-law was drawing nigh to death, getting ready to make her crossing. And I stood there and respectfully made a few recordings for just our memory's sake. But that was one of the songs that they sang as my mother-in-law was fading. And at the beginning, before she was heavily sedated, she had that feeding tube or that breathing tube in her mouth. And she would sing and lip with that big hose coming out of her mouth and do what she could to raise that little feeble hand to try to praise the Lord the best that she could. And we praise the Lord for the goodness of God. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And the world's crowd doesn't know anything about that. But thank God, even in a place of dying, that you and I can have grace. Amen. Amen. Ruth chapter number 1 tonight. The book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. And we'll be in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. And I want to give you the thought tonight. It's good to have our friends here tonight, Miss Rachel and Miss Sue Perez. Miss Sue was missionary with her husband in Spain for quite a few years, and that Brother Ellie, her husband, would travel with me as my interpreter. Wasn't a greater interpreter for the Spanish language than Brother Eleazar Perez, and the Lord saw fit to take him home as well about a year and a half ago. And so the Lord's taken some good ones home, amen. I've often said, Lord, if you'll let me choose, I can choose some for you if you just got a hankering to take some. But the Lord, his choices are different than mine, amen. And anyway, Ruth chapter number 1 in your Bibles tonight. And let's start in chapter number 2. I'm going to allude to chapter number 1, but look in Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 10. This is speaking about Ruth when she is there with Boaz. The Bible says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a place which thou knewest not heretofore. One of my favorite verses when I sign a Bible for a young lady, this is normally the verse that I would sign, Ruth 2:12, and the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. You won't find a greater picture tonight of God's amazing grace towards fallen and sinful man. There's not a greater illustration in your Bible than the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, these four chapters, if you study them, they are the Old Testament setting, if you will, of what is coming in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Boaz, was to come to this earth and to suffer and bleed and die on the cross at Calvary. But we just read Ruth chapter number 2, but if you go back to Ruth chapter number 1, it starts very dark tonight. It starts very dim. It's a very dreary chapter, and it started off with, I believe, with good intentions. There was a man in chapter number 1 that went to, if you could just say it this way, he went to the East River Baptist Church in Bethlehem, Judah. It's a good church, And the Bible said that he had a wife by the name of Naomi. They had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and he was a man that loved the Lord. And the Bible said that there was a famine that came there to Bethlehem, Judah, to the East River Baptist Church of Bethlehem, Judah. And the Bible said that instead of staying there by faith, he started living by sight. And he uprooted his family from the place where God had visited his people, his family, and giving them bread. And he said, we're going to just sojourn in the land of Moab. And that's what he did. That was his intention. To sojourn means just to stay a little while. It wasn't his intentions of staying down there in that other church down in Moab. And the Bible says he uproots his family. He takes them down to Moab. And of course, things don't go as he intended. They never go like you plan if you try to live your life by sight. And that's what he did. He took his family. They went down to Moab because there was a scarcity for a little while there in Bethlehem, Judah. And the Bible says that when he got there with his family, he ended up dying. He didn't plan on dying, but that's exactly what happened. He ended up dying. So he left his wife, a widow, to raise two boys by herself. Time passed on. These two sons end up marrying these Moabite women, which was not the will of God for someone from the house of God, from Bethlehem, Judah, to marry one of these types of girls, and that's exactly what happened. And then the Bible says that these two sons died. And now we have this mother-in-law by the name of Naomi. She's left all alone there with her two daughters-in-law. In chapter number 1, the Bible says there at the end that she said of her own self, she said that I went out full in verse number 21. And the Lord, and she went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You say, what happened to Elimelech? He lost some things. And by the way, when you leave the house of God, you do lose some things. You don't lose your salvation, but you will lose your testimony. He lost his family. He lost his faith in God. He was no longer trusting the Lord. He lost many of the friends that he used to serve the Lord with. He lost his finances. He lost his freedom. He lost the fun that he used to have serving God. He lost the faith, the faithfulness of God's people. He lost his future. He lost his fruitfulness. I'm just saying, when you leave like Elimelech did, he lost a lot of things. In chapter number 1, his faith got tested in a famine. And many times God will test your faith in a famine, but it's not fulfilled. Your faith is not fulfilled when you take a flight. Amen. It's tested in a famine, but it's not fulfilled in a flight. God wants us to stay put. God wants us to root down. I'm not talking about God moves you. God moved us from Shady Acres to the East River Baptist Church, no doubt about it. We weren't in flight. We were moving by faith, and it did take a step of faith. Faith is tested in famines, but it's not fulfilled in flights. And temporary disobedience, which is what Elimelech participated in, often becomes permanent because the Bible said that he went to sojourn when we get flighty during a time of famine. He left a fellowship of believers, and he took his family and he exposed his family to a world that God never intended for him to go to, Moab. It was never the will of God for him to go to Moab. And then he weakened his family worship. And what happened? Death came into his life. His legacy was lost. His sons never had children to carry on the legacy. They died before they ever had children. And then it exposed his family to the world, and his sons died. And his wife, the Bible says that she was left there empty. I love verse number 6 because along the way, she's there, and the Bible says that Naomi, then she arose with her daughters-in-law after these three funerals have taken place, that she might return from the country of Moab. Look at verse 6. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. I believe somebody might have came by and said, hey, Naomi. They just started bragging on the bread. You ever done that? just started bragging on the bread. You say, "What? It was sweet bread down there in Bethlehem, Judah." And they said, "Man, that bread down there, it's sufficient bread. That bread down there, it is saving bread. It's show enough bread, amen? I mean, it's some good bread down there." And boy, she got to thinking about all those memories that she had down there in Bethlehem, Judah. And so Naomi makes this decision that she is going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. She's empty. She's lost her husband, lost her sons, lost her joy, lost her fullness. She's lost everything. And now she said, "You know what? I'm going to go back down there where God visited me and given me some bread." And she, amen, she told her daughters-in-law, she said, "Listen, I'm too old to have other sons for y'all. Y'all go back to your own places. Y'all go back. I love you, but I'm going back to the place where we left, where we never should have left." And the Bible said that Orpha went one way, and Ruth said, "Hey, listen, I ain't going with you. I'm not going back to my home country. I'm going with you." Which brings me to the thought tonight. This is what I'm preaching on. I'm just kind of giving you the introduction here, because I'm preaching tonight on the subject of what you'll find in the house of God. What you'll find. What were some things that happened? Because Ruth, she said, "I'm going with you." Ruth is a picture of you and I tonight. She was a Moabitess. The Bible said that Moab is my washpot. She was from the bottom of the barrel. She's from the wrong side of the track. She was a worthless individual. But in chapter number 2, business starts picking up in Ruth's life when she goes with Naomi to the house of God. She said, "I'm going to go down there to the East River Baptist Church of Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going to go down there where God visited His people in giving them bread. I've never been down there before. Those aren't my people. They don't speak my language. They don't wear my clothes." You know, there's a lot of people coming to this church, they don't have a clue what they're walking into. But I tell you what, God will do something in their life. Just like He did in this young lady's life, she went from worthless to wealthy. She didn't have a dime, she didn't have anything, she was just a Moabite. But in chapter number 2, she met a man by the name of Boaz, who was a mighty man of wealth. And by the end of the story, she owns everything that Boaz owns. She goes from worthless to wealthy. She goes from pauper to princess. She goes from bitter in chapter number 1 with a mother-in-law that's bitter to blessed in chapter number 4. She is in the field in chapter number 2. Then she ends up at His feet. And by the end of the story, she's in His family. In chapter number 1, she's a widow. But in chapter number 4, she's part of her own wedding. Oh, listen, she is a pretty picture of you and I tonight. When we wander up in the house of God and the Lord allows us to meet our heavenly Boaz, the precious Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we love, the one that we sing about, the one that we worship, the one that we give our life to, the one we give our money to, the one we give our time to, the one we give our dedication to, the one that we give our all to. You say, "Why are you people down there so churchy? Why do you get in all the way? You Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, Master's Club, whatever's going on, you just dove off in the deep end." I'll tell you what happened. We had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ. We fell in love with Him because we remember when we were in Moab on the wrong side of the tracks with nothing, a bunch of death and dearth and heartache. Amen. And the Lord came by and took us in, and He introduced us to Himself in the house of God, and business started picking up in our life. And now God took a tragic beginning and turned it into a trophy of grace tonight. What a wonderful story. I hope you can see yourself in this picture, because Ruth could not fix herself, just like you can't fix yourself. And she could not straighten her own life out. Ruth's life, like many of you, maybe even tonight, you are in this condition, or maybe you were, and you go back down memory lane. Ruth's life was in a million pieces. And her life was shattered all over the place. She couldn't straighten it out. Her husband's dead. Her brothers-in-law are dead. Her father-in-law's dead. Her mother-in-law is bitter. And now by faith, that she didn't even know she had down in her heart, amen, she relocates from her little country life of Moab, the other side of the tracks, to a country and a church, if you will, tonight. I hope you can see the typology. I'm trying to paint a picture for you. And she goes down to Bethlehem, Judah, East River Baptist Church with Naomi, this bitter mother-in-law that said, I'm going back down to the house of God. I'm going back down to Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Judah means a place of praise. She said, I'm going to go down there where that pastor used to feed me and those people used to praise the Lord. Bethlehem, Judah. She said, I'm going with you. That's what she said in chapter number 1, there in verse number 16. For she said, where whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught be but death part thee and me. Look at verse 18. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She had told her, don't go with me, stay home, there ain't really nothing down there for you. And Ruth said, listen, you can't talk me out of it. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to be there every time the doors are open. I don't really know what I'm getting myself into, but you ain't going to talk me out of it, so stop it. Just be quiet. Finally, Naomi said, hey, listen, I ain't going to say another word because I ain't going to talk her out of going with me. That's exactly what happened. She went down there and some things happened down at the house of God when she got there. You say, what happened, Brother Brian? She found grace. She found grace in chapter number 2. The Bible said right there in the text, in verse number, let's see here. Amen. We'll just get right into it. Let me just give you the message here. Number 1, you say, what do you find at the house of God? 3 things. Number 1, she found some reaping down at the house of God. She found some reaping. Now there was a choice to be made. In chapter 1, verse number 14, the Bible said, look at it, chapter 1, verse number 14. There's 2 different kinds of people here in the text. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. Again, this is Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And look at what Orpah did. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. 2 kinds of people in the church. There's kissers and there's cleavers. Which one are you? Orpah got real close. She's kind of like Judas. She said, I love you, Naomi. You're the greatest mother-in-law I've ever had. We got so many precious memories. Your son was a wonderful husband. And she said, I love you so much. And then she walked away. And Ruth wasn't just a kisser. The Bible said she clave unto her. She said, I'm going with you down to the house of God. You see, there is a choice to be made, isn't there? She said, I'm going to the house of God, the place where God visits His people and giving them bread. And it was a great day in my life when I made the decision that I'm going to cleave unto God's people. I'm going to cleave unto the Lord. I'm going to cleave unto this book. I'm going to cleave unto some old-time preaching. I'm going to cleave to some old-fashioned convictions. I'm going to cleave to old-time religion. I'm going to cleave unto the things of God because, amen, I trust that God will do some reaping in my life down at the house of God. And you get down to the house of God, you'll be like Ruth and you'll say, hey, I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you found some grace tonight? The Bible says in verse number, chapter 2, verse number 3, that her hap, a very interesting verse, her hap was to get in Boaz's field of grace. Look at verse number 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field. Here she is, she's made it in to Bethlehem, Judah, after the reapers, verse 3, and her hap, look at your King James Bible, her hap was to light on the a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. That word hap, it means that which comes suddenly or unexpectedly. It means that which comes by chance. It means by fortune. Another definition is it means just by accident. But we know tonight that there's no accidents. There's no luck, if you will, in the Christian life. You and I believe in something called the providential hand of God that is working. And somebody said, by happen chance or by happenstance, I found myself in this church and under this preaching and right here under the house, in the house of God with these people. No, it's no accident. It's no accident tonight. You say, what was it? It was your hap. Your hap was the light in this place tonight. You say, what was going on behind the scenes that I did not see? There was an unseen hand that was working in your life, and you can look back on it, and as clear as your hand in front of your face, you can see the fact that God was a working amen in your life. You didn't see it at the time, but you say, I don't know how I ended up here. How'd I end up in this church? How'd I end up meeting these people? How'd I end up listening to this sermon? I'll tell you what there was. It wasn't by accident. Your hat, my friend, was to light in this place because God was on your trail like a coon dog treeing a coon. Amen. You say, what was it going on? The Holy Ghost is a good treer, and He gets you to that tree. You might try to climb up it to get away from Him. Amen. But He'll stay there and bark at you until, amen, you eventually got to come down, friend. I'm telling you, thank God tonight for the good hand of God, the unseen hand that works behind the scenes. You say, what's about to happen? I'll tell you what's about to happen. You get down to the house of God, there's going to be some reaping in your life. Aren't you sick of reaping what sin will give you? The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Most of the time, we look at it in the bad sense. But how about you get down to the house of God and start reaping some good stuff? Reaping some things of the Lord in your life. My friend, God used death. God used heartache. God used tragedy. God used bad decisions and blunders, funerals, tears, a broken heart that led Ruth just by happen chance to light in verse number 3 in part of the field of Boaz. And the Bible says that she moves from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah. She finds herself down at the Bethlehem Judah house of God, and she's down there with the people that are praising God. She's eating the bread with God's people, and she finds grace in the eyes of Boaz. You see what happens in her life? In verse 5 and 6, in verse 3 of chapter 2, we see that her hap was to just get in the field. But then business starts picking up, because in verse number 5 and 6, look at it, then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers. Look at what he said. Whose damsel is this? He said, woo! Who's that girl over there? She's pretty good looking. Who is she? He takes notice of her. You remember the day the Lord took notice of you? You felt so unworthy, you felt so unclean, you felt so out of place. You might have even said, if I go down there to that church, I'm afraid the ceiling's going to fall in on me. But when you got there, you know what the Lord did? Said, ha, whose damsel's this? He took notice of you. He noticed her there in the field. In verse number 8, he tells her, I want you to stay in the field. Look at verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth. Now he's talking to her. Hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. He said, don't go anywhere. Just stay right here. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He tells her to stay in his field. He said, my field is enough. There's no other field that's needed to satisfy you or to meet your needs. In verse number 10, he took knowledge of her in the field. The Bible says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? He took knowledge of her in the field. In verse number 12, he made a promise to her in the field. He said, I'm going to repay you, the Lord recompense thy work. Verse 13, she found favor and comfort in the field. The Bible says, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. I'm telling you tonight, you say, what happens when I get down to the house of God? Business starts picking up in your life, and she started reaping things from Him. Wouldn't you like to reap some stuff from Him? Just get yourself down at the house of God and watch the Lord start to work in your life. I like it when God takes notice of me. starts loving on me and says, I see you. I know what's going on over here. I know what's being said over here. Don't you worry about it. I see what's going on. And the Lord said, I'm going to pay you. Sometimes it's with blessings monetarily. Sometimes it's with good health. Sometimes it's just with joy and peace. Sometimes it's with some friends. Sometimes it's with a good pastor. Sometimes, whatever it is, I'm telling you, God's in the business of letting you reap some things from Him. And when you start reaping from Him, amen, you'll never want to go back to that old life. She found some reaping. And then number two, I'm going to say tonight, when she got down to the house of God, she not only found some reaping, she found some reaching. Look at chapter 2, verse number 14. She's there in the field. Boaz is talking to her. And he said in verse number 14, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And look at what the Bible says. And he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. In chapter 2, verse number 14, Boaz invites her to come eat with him. Now listen tonight, she was not one of the high-ranking guests. Ruth, I would say tonight, was at the back of the line, if you will. She's at the far end of the table. You say, who's at the head of the table? At the head of the table is the boss. It's Boaz. Boaz is the one who owns the table. He's the one who owns the bread. He's the one who owns the corn. He's the one that employs all of these people. You say, who is he? He's a mighty man of wealth in the land of Boaz. And where he's sitting at the head of the table and where she's sitting is a long ways from each other. You say, where's he at? He is in a real preeminent spot. He is in a real powerful spot tonight. He is in a real prominent spot because he is the boss. And here she is. She pulls up there at the table and she's in a pitiful spot. I mean, listen, she is in a powerless spot. She's down at the other end of the table where the old poor old white trash like Brian Green be sitting, amen. Way down, far away from him. Oh, but listen, yet we find Boaz in the text is still able to reach way down to where she is at the other end of the table. Somehow or another, he left his preeminent spot and reached way down to her pitiful spot. Somehow, he left his powerful spot and went down, amen, to her low spot tonight. Oh, listen, I'm thankful, thank God, that we have a Heavenly Father, that when we, amen, pulled up to His table and we were real powerless and we were real pitiful and we were real low and we were from the other side of the tracks, thank God He reached for us like He did for her. Amen. He reached that hand way down to you and I in the pit of sin. He reached way down to our place of sorrow, way down to our place where we were down in the muck and the mire of sin. And He grabbed us up by His holy and His loving hand and He pulled us up out of the miry clay. And then He took the hand of the Father and He reunited us together. Amen. For there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and He is the one who reaches way down for you and I, amen, to where we are, and He pulls us up out of the miry clay, and He gives us something worth living for. Aren't you glad for that tonight? You say, what happened when she got down to Bethlehem, Judah? She got some reaping, but she also got some reaching. He reached her parched corn. Thankful tonight that I serve a God that can reach way down to where I am. So many people say, well, He can't come to me. Friend, He can come to you tonight. He can come to you. He knows where you're at. He knows what your last name is. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. He knows your shortcomings tonight. And listen, I'm telling you, He will say, come and sit at the table with me. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. And He can reach to where you are and give you what you need tonight. You say, where do you get that? I get that down at the house of God. She got some reaching. She got some reaping. You say, what was she? She was a foreigner. In verse number 10, the Bible says about her there, he said, why hast thou found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? Verse 10, seeing I am a stranger. She was a stranger. She was one without hope and without God. She comes from this real messed up land by the land of Moab. Moab in Psalm chapter 60 and Psalm 108 is called God's washpot. Moab was a place that was started from an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. It was a place of dearth. It was a place of death. It was a dirty land. It was a land of false gods and religion. It was a defiled land, a disobedient land. But despite the fact that she was a foreigner, she was a stranger, he still said, hey, I can reach you where you're at my table. Even though she was a foreigner. He reached for her as a foreigner. He reached for her as a friend. Aren't you glad tonight we got a friend in Jesus? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what he had to tell him? He had to tell him to be good to her while she was there at the table with him. Probably because they knew where she was from. She was from the wrong side of the tracks. I imagine she was getting some dirty looks and people were whispering and talking about her. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. I'll show it to you. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her. You see that? Let her. Let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. He said, don't be bad to her. I know where she's from. I know what she looks like. Verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke them not. You say, what happened? Listen, sometimes some bad things can happen to you and I at the house of God, at Bethlehem, Judah. Can I say tonight, don't blame the master. Don't blame Boaz. Boaz was a sticking up for her. Sometimes, listen, you stay in church long enough, people are going to hurt you. People are going to talk about you. People are going to let you down. You're going to be done wrong. You're going to be done dirty. You're going to be taken advantage of. You're going to be lied about. But listen, don't hold that against the house of God. And don't hold that against the master of the house of God, our heavenly Boaz. Amen. Don't blame him. Where there's people, there's problems. And where there's problems, amen, there's a master that will take up for us and say, hey, she is my friend. Leave her alone. She's my friend. I'm glad when everybody else walks out, the Lord walks in. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. She was a foreigner. She was a friend. And I'll tell you what she got. She got filled up in verse number 18. I'm talking about some reaping and some reaching. Verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. The Bible says, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Listen, she never went to another field looking for bread again. You say, what did Ruth get, Brother Clark? She got full. She got full. Her soul was full. Listen, I'm thankful tonight that you can come and dine at His table. And she took it, and not only did it fill her up, but she had enough, amen, to fill up somebody else. In verse number 18, the Bible said she had some reserve after she was sufficed. She said, I got some leftovers here. Look at verse number 18, verse number 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? She said, where'd you get this? Who gave you all these blessings? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Oh man, listen tonight. May we be so full of God. May we be so full of blessing that when somebody comes in, we're able to give them some of our blessing. We're able to pour some of the love of Jesus on them. Able to share some of those financial blessings and some of those physical blessings. Amen. Some of those spiritual blessings. Some of those emotional blessings on them. And when they say, where in the world did you get all this? We can say, I'm glad you asked. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one that gave me all this. She got filled up because she reaped at the house of God, and he reached for her down at the house of God. And then I'm done with this. Not only did she get some reaping and some reaching, you know what she got? She got some redeeming in the text. She was a foreigner who found a friend who had gotten filled up, and now she has a future that is forever changed. Because all that was lost in chapter number 1 of the text was redeemed by Boaz in chapter number 4. He bought it all. She lost everything. But when Boaz stepped in, he redeemed it all. He paid for it all. She went from a widow in chapter number 1 to a wedding in chapter number 4. And you say, what happened? Look at Matthew chapter number 1. I'll show you what happened to Ruth. You say, what happens if I just stay down at the house of God and hang out with God's people and hang out with the Lord Jesus Christ, just give myself to this thing and sell out lock, stock, and barrel to God? I'll tell you what will happen. You're liable, amen, to have some reaping in your life and some reaching in your life and some redeeming in your life. Your kids will end up getting saved. Your moms and dads will end up getting saved. Your nephews and nieces will end up getting saved. Your friends and family, your neighbors will end up getting saved down at the house of God. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. He said, what will happen? I'll have a future that's forever changed. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says, and Salmon begat Boaz. This is the, look at verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. This is the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He go down through there. You get to verse number 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. you see it? Ruth had a child that had a child. Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon, and so on and so forth. You say, what happened? Ruth makes the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. All because she made a decision when she was at a crossroad. Am I going to be a kisser like Orpha, or am I going to be a cleaver? I'm going to have to walk away from my mama and my daddy and my friends and my house and where I grew up, and all my comforts, and my language, and my hometown, and my home church. But I believe I'm just going to take a risk. I believe I'm just going to step out by faith and see what the Lord can do. You reckon Ruth was glad she made that decision? You say, what happens when I go down to Bethlehem, Judah? God starts pouring out the blessing so much, you don't even understand what all God has for you to receive tonight. So how about you tonight? I'm going to ask my wife to come sing an invitation song. Maybe some of you tonight, you need to find a place down here and say, you know what? I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of selling myself short. I'm tired of just going this far. You know, a lot of people do. They draw a line in the sand and they say, Lord, I'm willing to go that far, but that's as far as I'm going. And they compare themselves to others. But why don't you take the line out of the sand and say, you know what? I'm not going to just tiptoe around in the shallow end. I'm going to get over there in the deep end with God. Amen. And sell out lock, stock, and barrel. And get all the way in. No telling what God will do with your reaching and your reaping and your redeeming down at the house of God. I don't know if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. The altars are open here. I'm going to pray. She's going to sing. You come and do business with the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the house of God, a place where you visit your people and giving them bread. Thank you, Lord, for the East River Baptist Church and, Lord, allowing us to serve you here with our family and friends, a good pastor. Lord, a good place, God's place for our life. Lord, a place, Lord, where you, Lord, have done a whole lot of reaping in our life for the good and for God, a whole lot of reaching down to our children, saved our youngins, saved our life. Saved our marriages, saved our ministries. Lord, because you reached down to where we were and picked us up. Lord, now, God, you're redeeming a whole lot of stuff that we lost, all because we just had enough faith to follow you down at the house of God. Lord, I pray for these dear folks in here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, they'd make that decision if they haven't already made it. And Lord, if they have, Lord, maybe it'd be a good time just to get down on their knees somewhere and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for my place in Bethlehem, Judah. Lord, a place where Boaz has been good to me. Lord, we love you tonight. Bless, Lord, the invitation. Speak to your hearts, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As she sings tonight, you obey the Lord.